Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I am Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, we finally have some finality in the draft order. We have some certainty. Draft lottery has come and gone. Congratulations, Spurs fans. How are we doing?
I'm really, really excited for this one because obviously, you know, we have some answers. We finally got realization. Congratulations to Spurs Nation. But we also have a damn order. And, you know, it's been a spicy topic, Metcalf, on the World Wide Web, on the line lately. So what better way than, you know, you threw around some ideas for this episode. And I said, to hell with that. I want to get down to business. Like, I've got some battles to score, so I'm really excited for this one. I feel like all the gloves are off. If you're here for a good time, you're in for it. We're gonna get weird with this one, and me and Metcalf are gonna have some fun. So, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, fantastic! You know, the internet being the internet, super rational, reading things exactly how they were typed. You know, just perfect all around. No one's in their feelings from any fan base. We love you all. Yes. But, you know, it's mock draft season. We finally have an order. We can forget all of these random tankathon spins. And, you know, longtime listeners are going to be kind of a little more familiar with this segment. But we're doing a mock draft peer review. I know we did one with Corey and Albert the other day, right after the lottery happened. It was a little reactionary. We're kind of firing all over the place. And for this one, we each constructed our own mock draft. So our 1 through 30 picks, we're going to run through them like 5 at a time, say what we liked, what we didn't like with each other's picks, all that good stuff. But we kind of wanted to, now that we have an order, kind of get our own individual thoughts out there.
I think this is probably one of my favorite exercises that we do because me and you both get to kind of critique each other. And I messaged you earlier. I was like, I love my mock draft. Like, I'm really excited about this one. Me and Metcalf don't share our results until we're on the air. And, you know, we're not shy about telling each other, like, you're crazy. And it's funny because now, as Metcalf's hinting, we've had the diehards come on in here. You know, the diehards have been following us all year. Now the new ones that are really excited for it are like, what are you guys talking about? What are you thinking? It's like, okay, we've been mocking some names the entire year. But just because we shifted them up and the post lottery, you know, I mean, we were drunk with emotion in that episode. Like, we were just so excited to be here. So I was like, okay, like, obviously in that format, when you're going one by one, you know, usually at No Ceilings, we do the consensus war room and
that takes a full day.
It's three hours exhausting. Of just madness. And we all, you know, we can't stand each other by the end, but it's like, those are very heated this time of the year. So our next one will be that, but this one I'm really excited for because I love my mock. I think I got some surprises that even the No Ceilings crew will be a little confused by. Some, you know, on the draft community might be like, whoa, Rucker, what's going on with you? But I think Metcalf also is really good at this, so I'm excited to hear your picks.
All right, and then after we go through our first round mocks, we're going to finish up the episode by finally updating the draft stock game. We'll get through all the rules and all that stuff for any new listeners. We'll get to it once we get there. But before we do that, let's take our very first break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, and we're back. So, Rucker, obviously, let's just go five picks at a time. Uh-huh. So one through five, we have Spurs, Hornets, Trailblazers, Rockets, Pistons. Who'd you have?
I got. Do you want me to just rattle off five, or do you want to go one by one?
Let's just go through all five at a time.
Okay. So I had Victor at one to the San Antonio Spurs. The Charlotte Hornets at two. Drum rolls, please. I had Scoot Henderson. I'm sticking with my guns. Three, Portland. I've got Brandon Miller. Four to the Houston Rockets. Here we go, folks. I've got Amen Thompson. Shocker. I know. Everyone in OCLA's is going, Rucker, what did you do? You made a deal with the devil. And then five to the Detroit Pistons. I've got Jairus Walker. Let me hear it, Metcalf. Let me hear your five. I know you will. I know, but I love this. I'm telling you, I feel good. So,
okay. So my top three were the same. And my top five picks were actually chalk with my board's top five, which is kind of boring. But Spurs, Victor, Hornets, Scoot, Trailblazers, Brandon Miller, Rockets, Jairus Walker, Pistons, Cam Whitmore. Let's
go ahead.
The first overall pick is obvious.
Yes.
It's done. Congrats, Spurs fans. We're done talking about you for the next 3 months. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Charlotte.
I have to comment on the Spurs. They had their GM on today, and the panel was also – I love – ESPN does a good job with coverage, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever, ESPN. One, stop showing the interviews instead of the games. Everyone's watching the combine because from TV because we want to watch the games. Stop showing – I don't care about seeing everyone's face. Like, we can listen to them, but let me watch the games. Two – they're interviewing the Spurs GM today and basically trying to get him to just flat out say they're taking Victor nonstop. And he did such a good job of being like, I'm not talking about that. Like, if you know anything about our organization and locker room, like, that question ends there. And I just was laughing hysterically. And I was like, stop trying to make fetch happen. Let the guy breathe. Okay, moving on. Two, yeah, I'm still there with Scoot. I know there's some Gavoni stuff on the internet today, and I think this is smoke season, so everyone be careful. Take everything with a grain of salt. There's the combine. There's a lot of smoke there. There's a lot of smoke, you know, leaking around the league right now. Like, everything is buzz, and this is our, you know, our Super Bowl right now, is because this is the time of the year where everything starts buzzing, and you start talking to your connections and everything going on. And I understand, Brent. We've talked about it. I understand if Brandon Miller goes too. I understand also if Scoot still goes too.
Yeah, and I think just from a pure fit standpoint, I think Brandon Miller would be the easier fit. I think it would be a little clunkier with Scoot. More I've thought about it. I had a, you know, I sent it out into the ether that I would still take Scoot and explore the idea of trading LaMelo Ball because I don't think it's going to be a seamless fit. Hornets fans obviously took that super rationally.
Which happens.
Right. But when I say that, I'm not saying, hey, here's LaMelo Ball. Give me 2 second round picks and we're going to call it a day. No, it's you try it out. And if it doesn't go smoothly, if things aren't going the way you want it to, if LaMelo Ball isn't really experiencing any major growth or kind of reverse back into kind of some of his ball hog tendencies, because he's a world-class playmaker, all of that. But I think you could get a fuck ton back for him if you put him on the market. I think the offers would be insane, and then the pieces that would come in for that would really help kickstart the whole rebuild. That's the hypothetical I was exploring. And I think Scoot is that good where you at the very least try it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was laughing at some of the comments coming from the hive. You know, I never mess with bees, especially hornets. And you really were shaking up a hornet's nest. So I was like, Metcalf, God bless your heart. You know,
made a lot of new friends.
Yeah, a lot of new friends on the way. And I understand Hornets fans. I understand every passionate fan base that's, you know, you're passionate about your guy. I get it. But I don't think you're wrong with what you said. And the funniest thing was someone calling you out and was like, I'm convinced no one watches the Hornets unless they're on NBA TV. And it's just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, of course we're watching basketball and just, you know, get off your high horse. I know LaMelo Ball's been playing off the ball a little bit, but this is the exact point that Metcalf's bringing is, if you invest in Scoot Henderson at 2, if you're drafting him, you're probably thinking he has a shot to have a higher ceiling than LaMelo Ball. And then you're probably saying this might be able to work with both of them and they might be able to play off each other. And if it doesn't work, you're probably not going to get rid of the guy you just drafted that's younger. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to have to look to see if you can move LaMelo. And of course, like, you're right on. You're not moving him for pennies on the dollar. You'd be trying to, you know, get a king's ransom for it. We're talking about it too much. It's one of those things where, like, no, I don't think they're going to trade LaMelo, but it's just, you have to entertain this stuff. Like, if they took Scoot, yeah, they might be thinking of that down the road. NBA organizations are not making a pick for right now. They're making a pick for 3 years, 5 years down the road, second contracts, etc. So
yeah, and it's more so, I think, that highly of Scoot. I think I think he's the love child of Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. Even though that'd probably be a pretty unhappy marriage, but I digress.
They're going to take Brandon Miller now. We all know it. We got heated for nothing, and they're going to take Brandon Miller. And it's just, everyone calm down. You know, it's May.
And according to Givony today, he was saying on Zach Lowe's podcast that it's near consensus thinking around the league, or at least in the gym at the combine this week, that Charlotte is leaning towards Brandon Miller. And that makes a ton of sense as a fit with LaMelo Ball, the offensive versatility, the shooting, the floor spacing, the positional size. That's really, really exciting. I would still take the swing on Scoot. I think he's exactly what you want your franchise player to be. Which, you know, makes the pick at 3 for the Trailblazers even that more fascinating. I think if Brandon Miller falls there, easy pick. You run to the podium with it unless a massive trade comes through. If Scoot falls there, that's where things, I think, get really, really, really interesting, because there have been a lot of reports that Portland is kind of eagerly shopping that pick and looking to continue to maximize this Damian Lillard timeline.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you one team that's hoping that Givony's report of the consensus is Brandon Miller is going to is true, and that is Portland Trailblazers front office. Because if that's true, they are going to be ringing a tornado siren of whoever wants Scoot, you come get them. All you got to do is make us an offer. And that's going to get the attention of a lot of teams around the league. And Portland's going to be wanting a big piece in return for the right to get a potential franchise point guard. And we'll see what happens. But come on. I'm ready for you to yell at me about my 4th pick. I'm sort of understanding why. I'm not trying to just throw a curveball and try to be like, I want the Thompson hive to be on my, I kind of get it. If you're not going, like, I love Jarris. Jarris is 4th on my board. If Houston's like, no, we need to get a playmaker to make this engine run. And if you're buying into Udoka being able to unlock some defensive tools and the coaching and the development, then I'm like, maybe Thompson does make some sense there. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I mean, I went through everyone. I was like, does Whitmore make sense here? And I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, I think Thompson could be worth the swing there. So I know it's early. I have him at 7 on my board still, Metcalf. Don't yell at me. You know, I put my big board on the line, and then I felt really bold doing that. And then got plenty of people calling me crazy, which I was like, this is fun. I should be doing this. That's a compliment. So does it make sense to you?
A thousand percent. Okay. So I have, I'm not going to give a ranking on him, but I have him a little lower, and I'm a little lower on a man. I acknowledge that his ceiling is astronomical, like all NBA level. I think he could be insane. He would immediately give Houston the most athletic backcourt with him and Jalen Green. The pace they could play at, the kind of rim pressure, the scoring versatility. There's a lot to get really, really excited about. And taking that home run swing at the point guard position, because that's a spot where I think you can give a man the ball and allow him to run the offense, give him that on-ball responsibility that I think he really needs and may not necessarily get in 90% of other scenarios. So from a standpoint of what do I think is likely to happen if the top three go the way that we had it, I think Amen Thompson's, I would put money on that being the pick. I think it makes a ton of sense. The positional size, the playmaking, the athleticism, and, you know, with Udoka, the hope would obviously be that you can pull some of those defensive flashes that Thompson showed out into sustained stretches of really high level defense. I think we both think he has that in there, whether or not he can sustain it and really clean up a lot of the lapses that he showed at OTE. That's an entirely different question, but Udoka and his staff may be the ones to do that.
Right on. You had, so top five, you had Detroit. Who did you have? You had Whitmore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So that
guy
was,
I got Jarris there.
Jarris makes sense.
I like that fit a lot. And no, Detroit Pistons fans, he's not Isaiah Stewart.
He's much better.
I love beef stew, but he is much, much better. So yeah, okay. We'll speed up because we had the LaMelo Ball hour, which I was not ready for. Give me your 6 through 10.
Okay. At 6 with the Magic, I had Anthony Black. 7 Pacers, Taylor Hendricks. 8 Wizards, Amen Thompson. 9 Jazz, Cason Wallace. 10 Mavericks, Asar Thompson.
Okay. Okay.
And I really like that 5. That's about the only 5 pick stretch that I'm a big fan of.
I got 6 through 10 and I've got a name. I got a couple of new names and I'm really proud of this, how this turned out too. So I'm excited for you to hear this. At 6, I've got Asar Thompson. 7, I've got Cam Whitmore to the Indiana Pacers. 8 to the Washington Wizards, I've got Anthony Black. 9 to the Utah Jazz, I have Keontae George. And 10 to the Dallas Mavericks, I have Taylor Hendricks. Here's my thing. I like where you put Taylor Hendricks. I think we kind of sprinkled that thought on the last draft stream, the post lottery stream. Mm-hmm. And ever since we've talked about it, I keep staring at Indiana and I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. But, you know, with how I had Amen Thompson going 4 to Houston, I think Whitmore makes some sense in Indiana too.
Yeah.
But I also could see Whitmore not going there and Hendricks going with Whitmore on the board. Cause I think that fit makes a lot of sense. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, if Whitmore wasn't off my board already, I think his fit in Indiana makes a ton of sense because everything we like about Whitmore is what he does in an individual basis, like his individual scoring, his individual rim pressure, his individual, you know, pull up shooting, his individual on ball defense. It's all awesome. It's all the more kind of team concept stuff with the utter lack of ball movement. You know, he is a really good cutter, but the lapses in team defense, it's more that stuff where it gets a little shaky for him. You know, that's why I'm not worried about him going to the Pistons because he has guys like Ivy and Cade Cunningham to kind of take on that creation role for him. With the Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton doing the same thing with Rick Carlisle, who will get him or force him to learn those team concepts on both ends of the floor. So I think that fit makes a ton of sense for him. With Hendricks, size, length, shooting, I mean, he would just feast with what Tyrese Haliburton would set up for him. I thought it was kind of interesting that we had the similar approach with the, or who did you have going to the Wizards?
Anthony Black
and Adam and Thompson. So giving them kind of that jumbo dynamic playmaking point guard with major shooting concerns. But I'm a fan that we didn't just put Cason Wallace there, even though it makes a lot of sense.
I've been putting Case in there a lot, and then I started just thinking, I was like, this is the time of the year where
I interviewed him, just for what it's worth.
And this is the time of the year I have to put this disclaimer out. Like, everyone, we get a lot of diehard NBA fans that you know, understandably, they're paying close attention now. They haven't been with us all year. For thank you guys for joining us now. We love you, but we've been projecting a lot of the same crap all year.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we know everything, but this is the point of the year where we're like, okay, let's try to think outside the box. Let's try to throw another name in there that might, you need to educate yourself on, where it's like, hey, the board might look at these three names and it feel like when we put the other name in this time of the year, it's the perfect one's like, what are you talking about? It's gotta be Kaysen Wallace. It's been that way all year. And I'm like, but it might not be. There's always a curveball on draft night. So Anthony Black, I think it makes sense, him and Kaysen going to Washington, because Anthony Black, I think defense plus size, Kaysen Wallace, great defender, a little bit smaller, but combo guard, I think he's got a safer floor. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So who'd you have at Utah? You had Kaysen going there.
Yeah.
Now I had Keontae going there, and I felt like that one I hadn't really sprinkled in before. It kind of makes some sense to me.
I thought about that. I'm higher on Keontae than these other two guys, but I thought there'd be a little too much kind of archetypal overlap with Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson. And I thought Kaysen Wallace would be just that stabilizing, consistent presence on both ends of the floor that backcourt kind of needs, even though I know Jordan Clarkson has really emerged as a much better, you know, quote unquote point guard, but he's still a gunner at heart. There are still some inconsistencies, and I think Kaysen would provide a lot of defense to that backcourt as well.
I love Kaysen going there. I think that makes a lot of sense in the world. I just kind of also am trying to pivot to another route of,
yeah,
maybe this is a bucket getter. I still think Keontae, like, I thought Keontae was going to be a name that could go on a tear in the pre-draft process. And then obviously that video from Gavoni of him working out at his pro day in front of executives, I was like, whoa, Keontae, because I saw him in Vegas in person, and I was shocked. I talked about this earlier in the year, and I was shocked how bulky he was. Like, I was like, he's got some serious, like, I think Baylor's website had him listed around like 193, 195. And I was like, there's no way. He looks like he's 210, stocky. Like, and it wasn't bad, like fat. It was just like, he's built. And seeing that video of him, and I don't take too much into pre-draft videos or workout videos, workout season, hashtag. But I was like, he looks like he lost a bunch of weight. And then Scott Drew today on the combine was getting interviewed, and he's like, he was 225 in high school, which I was like, I believe that after seeing him. And then he's like, he's 201 right now, and I was like, whoa. And Scott was just like, you know, that's hats off to him. He's been working his butt off. So he looked much springier. He looked very bouncy in that video, and I was like, okay, if that's something else and you got a little bit more quickness, that's going to help out a lot. So I think Keontae's gonna have a shot to start buzzing again.
Yeah, and he's definitely in my top 10. He was one of two guys who fell out of my top 10 based on my personal board. It was him and Kobe Bufkin. I thought about Kobe Bufkin at 9 to the Jazz. I thought about him at 10 to the Mavericks. But with Jane Hardy, who knows what's happening with Kyrie Irving, I thought there'd be a lot of that overlap, and not sure how they would necessarily, you know, I really like them playing next to Luka, but in terms of pathway to minutes and, you know, upside if he really hits, that's why I went Asar Thompson with, you know, the team defense is insane with him. Took real steps as a shooter, good cutter, good passer. Who did you have at 10?
I had Taylor Hendricks, which I think
similar reasons,
probably the latest he can go. I still think he somehow is going before 10. It would make a lot of sense for me if Oklahoma City tries to get ahead of Dallas, if Taylor Hendricks has fallen. And I'm not reporting anything. I'm just saying that connection makes a lot of sense. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. And for everyone watching on YouTube, I'll post edit this, and we'll make a tracker of me and Metcalf's picks as we go by, so it doesn't get a little too confusing to follow along. But okay, let's get, unless you got anything else, no. Hit me with your, you want to go just finish off the lottery, and then I could post do that.
Do you want me to stop at 14 or just
go? Yeah, just stop 15? At 14, and then for every, I'll post, you know, there we go. We'll
have some fun. So 11 with the Magic, I have Jordan Hawkins, the Thunder, Judd Howard, Raptors, Keontae George, Pelicans, Kobe Bufkin.
Okay, every single Thunder fan's going to start flipping a desk because they were. I got DMs that Thunder fans were pissed off about me saying Jet Howard on the Post Lotto show. Well, I love it. Metcalf sticking with his boy. Okay,
I'm sorry. I like guys who are 6'8", can shoot the shit out of the ball, and are really smart passers and good off-ball movers.
It's okay.
That one's on me. That's my fault, guys. I'm sorry. All right.
I'm finishing out my lottery. Here we go. I got 11. I got Jordan Hawkins to the Orlando Magic. God bless you, Metcalf. 12 to the OKC Thunder. I've got Mr. Grady Dick, Toronto Raptors. I've got Kobe Bufkin, New Orleans Pelicans. I have Cason Wallace, which will be an absolute robbery. I'm going to throw the lotteries up on the screen right now. Everyone can see it. Thoughts, comments. What do you got?
Sorry, who did you have at 13 and 14?
13, Kobe Bufkin. To the Raptors, 14, I had Cason Wallace, perfect. Which would hurt me with that slip, but then I would be like, wow, New Orleans got another one. I get it. I know they have Dyson Daniels. They'll play together in the backcourt and be a tower or the, you know.
Well, and that team needs dungeon. An actual point guard. And
what?
That team actually needs a point guard, like a real point guard.
Dyson Daniels, Cason Wallace, Herb Jones, the Temple of Doom. Thank you.
Offensive rating of 82.
That's fine.
Okay. No. So circling back to the Thunder, because I think there are some really interesting routes they could go. I think we covered Jordan Hawkins a ton on the post lottery show. Low maintenance softball shooter. Yes. Awesome fit. I think Jed Howard and Grady Dick would kind of make some sense there too, but I think Hawkins is a much better on ball defender. Moving on. Thunder. What do they like? They like positional size. They like high field guys. So what's the argument against Jet? The defense?
I think so. I think here's the thing with Jet. I love this. Let's do this. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. All the doubts and questions are so weird to me. Like watching his film, I've gone back and watched him as much as anyone. And I'm just like, what? Why? Like, what is going on? What am I not seeing? And I mean, I go, what's the Iowa game? And he's just going ballistic. Was that Iowa? Or am I thinking of, no, who's he playing? He went crazy against someone. Iowa.
Don't remember off the top of my head.
Sorry, everyone. It's either at Iowa or at Minnesota. He was on the road or something. Like
that. Yeah, but I feel like he against Minnesota.
Yeah, that might have been it. I'm sorry. Hutchfina was again at Iowa on the road when he went nuts, and I was talking about Hutchfina earlier today. Okay, sorry.
He did drop 34 at Iowa.
Okay, maybe I am thinking of that. Where I feel like he had a sequence against Iowa where I was just like, oh my gosh, like there's some creation that I've been waiting to see. Guy's been playing through injuries, on two ankles. That were banged up, a movement shooter.
Really messed up.
Yeah, like imagine someone being like, run a mile and you've had two sprained ankles. Probably not going to run a 6-minute mile. Great analogy. I just think Jet is going to be a highway robbery. And we're always forgetting like he's 6'9". So every Thunder fan's come at me and been like, why Jet Howard there? I'm like, let's talk about it. Because you got Grady Dick, you got Shea, you've got J-Dub.
Josh Giddey.
What?
You said Grady Dick.
Oh, gosh, dang it. I'm too fired up. Okay, I got Josh Giddey. I saw his thing in the player tribune today, too, so that was awesome.
You Ben Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. SGA, let's bear with me. SGA and then J-Dub, friend of the program. What if you just installed a really smart 6'9 sharpshooter to play alongside those guys? Oh, and the big guy, Chet Holmgren. I mean, all of a sudden you have spacing galore. You have catch and shoot weapons. You'd be a disaster to deal with. So I don't understand why, like, the Thunder have so much good stuff going for them and they have so many offensive weapons potentially that are going to just be unlocked. I think the next part of this roster to really get things cooking is you need a lethal sharpshooter. And I think if Jordan Hawkins, Grady Dick, Jet Howard are on the board, you got to grab one of them. That would be one. Just get one of them. And it wouldn't shock me if they fall in love with Jordan Hawkins and they try to go up to get Jordan Hawkins as much as I just said with Hendricks, because that's the next wrinkle to make that team cook. Yep. Like I know J-Dub can shoot. I know SGA's an all-star type of player. I love him. I know Giddey is just the, you know, the Wizard of Oz. I know how great Chet is. You got now get a scary shooter. And I think Jet has the potential to be that guy. I mean, you're going to bring him in there and just be like, just catch and shoot. And he's 6'8", 6'9". So there you go. There's my vent.
Yeah.
And I pledge Grady Dick because I feel the exact same way. I just think Grady Dick, his team defense might be a little bit better, Metcalf. I'm not trying to slander your boy.
And no, I also think his cutting. I think his team defense is a lot better than Jets. But
his cutting, his off-ball stuff, I just think there might be – it might come down to, like, interviews or who performed better like that. So it's one of those.
Yeah, and I defensively, I think Grady Dick definitely showed a lot more. He had incredible hands, a really smart off-ball defender with his, you know, rotations and all that stuff. He'll get targeted on ball, but so will Jet, and Jet's off-ball defense was brutal. I think Jet has way more upside offensively, just the different ways that he was able to run off screens and then create for himself and others out of that. I thought he was a really, really high level passer, especially for his position. So yeah, I think either of those guys there makes a ton of sense. I flirted with the idea of going Kobe Bufkin to the Raptors again, like I did on the lottery mock. Wanted to mix it up a little. I love him there. I think
I love him.
I have him at 10 on my personal board. I think he's that I would almost be surprised at this point if he doesn't end up going lottery. I think someone tweeted out the other day that him and Hunter Dickinson's at rim finishing numbers were the same.
Son of a, I wanted to call out the person from, oh gosh, dang it. I have to find it. Cause I got to give credit. It was someone that always talks to us and interacts. And whoever's listening, I literally sent it to the group and everyone was like, oh my goodness. And I was just like, unbelievable. This is the tweet of the day. So I might have to let Metcalf talk for a while.
Yeah. And
Drew Johnson, shout out Drew Johnson, unbelievable. And, it just made me proud. At Drew can't hoop, little couple underscores under there, but Drew, that was unbelievable. I literally was just like, yes, that's fantastic. So I love Kobe Bufkin. I think Toronto is a great fit.
Yeah. And just for the record, Kobe Bufkin shot 71% at the rim this year. And based on Synergy's shot quality matrix, he scored 0.29 points more per possession than he was expected to. He's an insane at-rim finisher. The shot looks gorgeous. He can defend. Love it. All right, let's move on to...
He make sense to Dallas if Taylor Hendricks isn't there?
I thought about it there.
It'll be interesting. Does he make sense to Utah at 9?
So,
here we go. Welcome to Does He Make Sense?
I kind of like the idea of Dallas letting Kyrie walk and bringing in Kobe Bufkin and playing a Kobe Bufkin Jaden Hardy, Jesus, and Luka on the perimeter. I think that'd be fun. They'd probably give up 8,000 points a game, but they'd be fun.
Figure it out. Okay, sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Give me your 15 through 20.
15 to the Atlanta Hawks. I have Bryce Sensabaugh. Yeah, there we go. Utah Jazz at 16. I have Jet Howard. Okay. 17 to the Los Angeles Lakers. I have Colby Jones. 18 to the Miami Heat. I have Gregory GG Jackson. 19 to the Golden State Warriors. I have Jalen Hood-Schifino. And 20 to the Houston Rockets via the Clippers. I have Derek Lively the second. Hit me, Metcalf. What do you got?
Okay. 15 to the Hawks. I have Grady Dick.
Ooh.
The Jazz, I have Bilal Coulibaly. The Lakers, I have Jalen Hood-Schifino. The Heat, Bryce Sensabaugh. The Warriors, Colby Jones. And the Rockets, Nick Smith. Where do you want to go?
I like your version a lot, too. Grady Dick at Atlanta would be nice. Coulibaly at 16 makes a lot of sense. Sensabaugh to the Heat just makes me want to punch something because as a Celtics fan, the Heat just gave me like 10 years of PTSD watching game one. So of course that'd make a lot of sense if Sensabaugh went there. gosh, the Heat plays so hard. So yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I can't wait to do
maybe we need to just do a piece of like who needs the Miami Heat culture in the draft class. That'd be fun. I like it. Who'd you have it to the Warriors?
Kobe Jones.
Yeah, that's a great pick for Warriors. I had him at the Lakers, the 17. Yeah, I feel like I was crying while writing his name in. Yeah, I was just bawling. But I think that makes a lot of sense. I like where you're at. I don't know. Do you want to do the Nick Smith hour or
here's in a second? In a second.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm just here for fun. What do you want to go?
Well, let's talk Coulibaly and Sensabaugh for a minute first. So Coulibaly, both of you and I have warmed up on him a ton. A couple people at No Ceilings have a lottery grade on him. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the lottery. Do you think this is kind of the right range? Do you think he goes earlier, later? Is he being overhyped? Where are you at a couple of weeks removed after we did his breakdown?
I've been giving some crap to Nathan, and I love Nathan. He's my guy, but
he's just fun to rile up.
No, Nathan works his ass off. I understand it. So I think Nathan's on to the right path. I think there's going to be someone that jumps all over Coulibaly when it comes to his stock. And I just went on the Locked On Fantasy podcast with Josh Lloyd. Shout out Josh. And he wanted me to talk about Coulibaly. And he's like, you're cooler on him than everyone. I was like, it's not that I'm cooler. I'm just not there with him as like a in my lottery on my big board. And everyone remember this, just because I have him later does not mean I don't think he could go lottery. It's like NBA teams might jump all over that because of the upside. I just have him later. And I think where you have him is probably, you know, if Utah took him there, I'd be like, that's a good pick, because multiple first round picks, team that's going to be trying to develop. They overachieved last year. They're going to be probably in for a reality check. And sorry, Jazz fans, I'm just saying, like, this is usually how it happens. You shock the world and then you come back down to earth a little bit. I think getting a potential guy that if Coulibaly was in next year's class, he's probably easily a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
You're getting him a year early. I would bring him in and develop him. So I think
pre-draft, nice.
Yeah, pre-draft. There you go. Gosh, we got to get a different term. But at 16, I think I love that for them. You know, I'm just trying to pull. I love my haul for Utah. My first two picks, I got them Keontae and Jet Howard. So I feel like Jazz fans would be doing backflips.
I love how we took a very different approach where you went real offensive heavy and I went Cason Wallace and Coulibaly and just beefed up their length and defense.
I just said, hey, really like funny. We got Walker Kessler. Let's just score some damn points. Let's get some bucket. who needs defense? We got Walker down there. Walker, Texas Ranger.
I like that we both had Kobe going to teams that want to compete and win now, because that's exactly who we think he is. Really high field player, can do a bit of everything at a really high level. And I think both you and I really buy the shooting improvements that he showed this year.
I love him. I there's another guy I think could go earlier than where we have
been
projected. Talk to me about Sensabaugh.
So I've moved him up to 18 on my board reluctantly.
Proud of you. It's tough. He's an insane shooter. To a lot of AA meetings to talk about this, you know, and it's been tough, you know.
Hi, I'm Tyler, and I'm
I'm Tyler, and I'm a denier of Sensabaugh. It's tough because I understand. Everyone knows it's been a running joke this year. It's been fun to talk about it because I get it. I like him. I just have not been like, oh, he's a top 10 guy in my book. I'm like, no, if I got him late lottery, I'd be pretty pumped up. I think I moved him up to about 17. So I had him going 15 here. A shocker. Another guy I have lower on my board that I have projected earlier. Like, I think it's going to – I want him to go to a later team because I think he's going to be a better player. Like, there's nothing wrong with me saying that. Like, so I don't know. I'm a fan. I get it. I think he looks like he's in great shape. Not trying to say that I check out men, but you know, I'm just saying he looks like he's in great shape. He's been working his butt off.
Yeah, he has been. My concern with that is that's what all these guys are doing right now, where they're getting in the absolute quote unquote best shape of their life. They're training for these very specific drills. Can he sustain that shape? I hope so. Right. If he does, awesome. Will he in Miami? Absolutely. If he doesn't, he's gone. So I love that fit there for him. I think offensively, he would help kind of diversify their offense, give them another shot maker. I know they're shooting the shit out of the ball right now, but how many guys on that team have done that all year? Not that many. And then I know there have been flashes of the passing. I'm not buying him as a real passer at this point. But if he can, and, you know, again, in that system where they drag every ounce of talent and potential out of their guys, that would be the best place in my eyes for him to really develop that skill, to just be a connective passer, even not even a playmaker. Defensively is where I can't move him higher. I know some people on across the country and at No Ceilings buy the defense long term. I think he is an abject disaster on that end of the floor. And some of the off-ball stuff has been truly atrocious. He makes up for some of it with his rebounding. He's an awesome rebounder. But if he's ever going to figure out how to defend, I think Miami would be the best spot. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to Atlanta, and I know Atlanta's roster is just all over the place. Like, I like Sadiq Bey still. They traded for Sadiq. So, like, is it... Maybe that's confusing, but all of a sudden, like, I just also think Sensabaugh is going to get to a point where some teams are just like, we need offense. He can shoot the crap out of the ball. Easy transition.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. What else you got?
Nothing. You want to move on to 21 through 25?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go for it.
21, Brooklyn Nets via the Suns. I've got Maxwell Lewis, 22 to the Brooklyn Nets. Their original pick. I have James Nnaji, absolutely love. Portland Trailblazers at 23. I've got Ryan Rupert. Sacramento Kings at 24. I've got Chris Murray. Yes, light the beam. Murray Brothers Unite. And 25 to the Memphis Grizzlies. I've got Brandon Pajemski. AirPods, baby.
Okay. At 21 to the Nets, I have Nnaji. 22 to the Nets, I have Chris Murray. To the Trailblazers, I have Derek Lively. To the Kings, I have Leonard Miller. And to the Grizzlies, I have Derek Whitehead.
Ooh, I liked Lively to the Blazers. That's a nice little...
He'll be a great backup for Karl Anthony Towns.
I love how you... This is why I love you sometimes, because yesterday you just were catching strays from Hornets fans, and then today I feel like you just woke up and chose violence with your own fan base, where you're just like, let's start some stuff with the Timberwolves. And for everyone that's new here, Metcalf never does this stuff, so it's like, oh gosh, you're really feeling the heat of
just feeling spicy.
I'm feeling spicy lately. That's the time of the year. Chris Murray is a name right now I'm struggling, because I feel like he's going to go earlier than I've been projecting him.
Same.
Nnaji, still love him.
I really think he goes top 25.
I do too.
Minimum.
I do too. For everyone that's listening, I've been told people around the league feel that way. Pajemski, this is not me overreacting to his combine scrimmages, so let's calm down. I think this is something good. He's looked fantastic. This is just something that I think is in that wheelhouse for a team like Memphis would jump all over it, especially with what's going on behind the scenes. The one name I'm struggling with right now is I am struggling with Ryan Rupert, because I think he's going to go early, and I don't know where it is, because I think he has fans in front offices. And I'm going off some stuff I heard earlier in the year, but I'm also just, it makes a lot of sense that he'd be an upside swing. I just am trying to find it out who it is. Maybe it's Brooklyn with one of those picks. I don't know. Maybe it's Utah. You really never know. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I couldn't quite get Rupert into my first round, and I know that's going to be wrong. I know he's going to go top 30 minimum. Incredible defender, and guys with that defense, that motor, that length, that potential. There's always just too much intrigue around them for them to fall too far. So I think that range makes a lot of sense. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the teens. I like that fit for him, especially, you know, covering up some of the defensive stuff for Dame and Simons and playing him alongside Brandon Miller and Jeremy Grant. That's a lot of length. That's a lot of defense. That's a lot of fun. So I don't hate it. I just went Derek Lively there. I was tempted to put Lively earlier to the Nets, but I just love Najee in that fit. So I just kind of had to do it. Even though I have him ranked, kind of flipped in rankings on my board.
I get it. I still think Sacramento's in a really good spot to get a really good wing. And I really do think there's a chance Chris Murray's there. So I just love that idea of it. And man, it's unbelievable. The names from about 16 to 25 that I could just move all over the place. And then you get from 25 to 30. And I'm like, I could have five guys that are in my second round right now go in that range. It's just crazy. So,
I basically had everyone in my top 40 in that 18 to 30 range at least once today. So that's how
I moved like four guys. I also want to move a couple now. It's just crazy, but things are going to get a little clearer as you know, the next couple weeks and months go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, let's move on to 26 through 30, unless you had anything left.
No, I'm good.
All right, 26 to the Pacers, I had Max Lewis. To the Hornets, I had Julian Strother. To the Jazz, I had G.G. Jackson. To the Pacers, I had Trace Jackson Davis. And to the Clippers, I had Brandon Podziemski.
Good, AirPods in both first rounds. 26 to the Indiana Pacers, I had Bilal Coulibaly. Yes, I'm sorry, Nathan. Fine. 27 to the Charlotte Hornets, I had Derek Whitehead. 28 to the Utah Jazz, I had Nick Smith Jr. 29 to the Indiana Pacers, I had Leonard Miller. Yes, Leonard Miller fans, I know I have him too low. Just relax. Let me warm up to that. And then 30 to the Los Angeles Clippers, I had Marcus Sasser.
Ooh, that's fun. I like that fit.
Yeah, the Leonard Miller, I'm going to admit it right now. The Leonard Miller one's still struggling with me. I posted a big board. I told everyone I'm knocking on the door of like trying to move Leonard into my top 30. I said on the line, I said, just because he's not in my top 30 does not mean I don't think he's a first rounder. I know I have him right at 29, but like I got on the air with you before and I was like, it's like, I need to find somewhere higher that I think Leonard Miller is going to go. And no, I do not think it's 12 to Oklahoma City. So please leave me alone with that.
Real quick, I could not hate that fit more.
Yeah, I hit it. I Brooklyn maybe. Miami maybe. He's
going top 20, and I don't.
LA Lakers. Maybe.
I almost just got in trouble saying something, but.
Okay, we'll save that for off the air.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah. I texted
Warriors
you something about
that already. Warriors, maybe. Like that's my problem is I run through every one of them and I'm like, I don't know if the Warriors. What?
I don't hate that.
Golden State, I don't hate.
Given what they've done with the undersized guys and kind of being able to scale them up. Shout out my Kevon Looney comp.
I just also see them going. I don't know. I also think they're going to have a different front office executive making those decisions next year. So I don't know. That's what I've heard.
He's going top 20. He's going in the teens. I agree. I can't figure it out. Maybe the Raptors is the very earliest I could see, gosh. But I feel like they have eight versions of him already.
Yeah, no. Stay
like,
away.
How would he get minutes over Precious Achiuwa or Chris Boucher even right now? Pelicans,
Utah like 16, that. Maybe?
But I just the lack of spacing with him and Kessler, unless Kessler's figured out that shot that he's wanted to.
Maybe that's your bench piece. You just bring off and he's your rebounding and you play him with Markkanen and Markkanen spaces the floor and it's Leonard Miller going. I just don't know. Like every team, I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Like Atlanta, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the idea of it makes sense so many places, but I'm just like, who?
Yeah.
Like, who? Like, who's buying in? Houston at 20? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so anyways, let's get on.
What about
that.
The Pistons at 5? No, I'm kidding.
No,
stop
I'm
kidding.
It. I really like them. I just... The NBA fit, I am just struggling to see the roster that's like, we're all in on it. Yeah. We're all in on it working. And that's my only thing. And everyone thinks I don't like him. It's not that. I'm just trying to figure out the plan for Leonard Miller.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like draft night, it's going to be like a huge sigh of relief because I'm going to be like, okay, makes some sense. Like, Miami at 18, maybe. Maybe it's like him and Bam. You're playing him together. They make him play really hard. He's physical, high motor. Yeah. Makes some sense to me.
Yeah.
Now I want to switch my draft. I'm just saying. But I also like Gigi going there because I feel like, you know.
Yeah. And who knows? I think Gigi's going to be one of the most fascinating storylines of draft night. I have him at 28, going 28 to the Jazz, and I absolutely hate it. Like, he should be going way higher.
But everyone hear that? Did everyone just hear that? He's going. I hate him going to the Jazz. He should be going way higher. Calm down. This is tough. This is a tough year. I'm gonna tell everyone right now. This is a really tough year. I have Leonard Miller going 29 to the Pacers. I have Gigi Jackson going 18. So me and you are basically in the same boat where I'm right now. I'm like, I could switch that, and I'd hate where Gigi is. So
yeah, like I thought about him to the Heat. I love that spot for him. Thought about him to the Nets, but you know, I didn't think they would necessarily want to take two kind of home run swings between Najee and Jackson. And I thought Najee would be able to help out a little more quickly in a major area of need. And maybe the Kings, but I don't know. It's tough. That 18 to 30 range is absolutely brutal for me.
Yeah, it gets challenging.
All right. Anything else on this?
No, I think this is, you know, do you have anyone that you didn't project maybe right outside that struggling with?
I have a Dembona at 23. I didn't have him going in my first round. Sasser and Turquavion just fell out. I was tempted to put Julian Phillips in there a couple times. Just missed out. City, Repair, Bobby Klimtman. Think a name to keep an eye on.
Bobby's got some smoke going.
Very interesting that he late withdrawal from the scrimmages. Let's just say
the moment he was a late withdrawal, that was like the doctor or you know the evil like recline in the chair and just like
Yeah, no. Like, so we did this last year with like Max Christie and Caleb Houston when they did it. So. Potential Bobby spots. What are we thinking?
Well, here's the thing is I think everyone's going to automatically assume, oh, it's a first round. And I don't think that's necessarily always true.
It could just
I
be
think
a guaranteed contract.
Yes. And I think you,
which
you
if could it's get in the to second, the point, it's a year earlier to free agency.
Yes. And I think the new CBA has more benefit for second rounders this year. I might have to check on that for the next episode, but I think it's like almost like a better thing for the second round picks now. Cause I think teams can give you like a contract.
Is that like an attempt to deter some of the second round shenanigans with agents and forcing their guys to
probably
drafted, like
probably or something.
Austin Reeves.
Yeah. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they're whatever. But I know Bobby Marks even mentioned it today, and I was like, oh gosh, I got to read the CBA and look at that. But I think now second rounders is kind of a better thing. And I wonder if we're going to see more desired second round picks this year when it comes to like teams not just trying to stash. Like they might be trying to find some people. And, you know, I think now if you're a player like Bobby and you're planning on going to the combine and playing, and you get there and you're probably like, hey, I might be, and I'm just throwing out numbers. I'm not saying this is about Bobby, but you're 45 to 55 and you get there and your agency finds out, you know,
you're anywhere from 35 to 40. I think your agent's grabbing you and saying, you're not playing. Like, yeah, just sit. Like, because that way you're like, if you're that range, feel pretty good about that. And then maybe you get a promise. But it's like, if you go play, then you could all of a sudden just go down fast, where you walk in there and you're like, whoa, okay. Couple good workouts that might be heating up a little bit more. So I think it was smart, because everyone's not a fool. Like, there's going to be some teams that have been like, well, we've been watching him. He's got some really raw skills. We'd love to get him a guaranteed contract, let him develop in the G League, whatever. But teams, I don't know. What are you thinking, Metcalf? What's tickling your fancy right now?
As early as the Heat, I like a lot. That size, that defense, that shooting potential. I think that'd be a really, really fun fit next to Bam. I think the Kings make some sense. The Pacers, if they don't go the Taylor Hendricks route, makes some sense.
Oh, you're not saying that early. You're just saying he ends up on a team like that.
What do you mean?
Bobby.
No, I'm just saying, like, for fit. Like, and if you did get a first-round promise, like, 18 to the Heat would be the kind of earliest I would imagine. I thought you were
saying Bobby to the Pacers at 7, and I was going to be like, I need a new 26 co-host.
Or 29. Okay,
all right. I love you, but I was just going to be like, we need to get you some help.
The Spurs at 1, I mean, you know, pretty no.
I actually was looking at Spurs at 33, Pacers at 32.
Oh, God, a lineup
OKC of... OKC at 37.
A lineup of him, Victor, Sochan, and Vassell would be brutal defensively.
I like Bobby a lot. I think he needs
He's really intriguing.
I think he needs a year of G League
run. Where do you have him on your board? We haven't talked about him at all this year.
We could do an episode on Bobby. I would have some fun with that. Should we do a Sleeper City episode soon? I think the fans would like that. Yeah, Sleeper City. Next week, Sleeper City. Look at us on the air, Sleeper City. Okay, that's a first. We've never done that. I feel like you usually tell me like Tuesday. Yeah.
Next Thursday, so that'll be fun.
I had Bobby in like my mid. Oh gosh, I had him in like my mid 40s.
Wow, you don't have a draftable grade on him.
Yeah, pretty great.
Okay, well, while you figure your things out, I have him at 39, and kind of in that range where 39 to 27 ish was pretty fluid.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those that just could skyrocket. I don't know. Let's do that. That'll be a fun episode, Sleeper City. Right. That gives me some good names to talk about, because there's also some guys at the combine that I think we need to really talk about too. So we'll do a Sleeper City episode.
Cool.
Do we get after this?
Yeah, let's get into the stock game, but let's take our final break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so for new listeners, Corey does a great job over at NoCeilingsNBA.com of tracking the consensus rankings of these guys throughout the year, and compiles the consensus big board between No Ceilings and ESPN and The Athletic and a bunch of other outlets. And Rucker and I decided to do a stock game on these guys, where we took the... or we gave a base price of 100, and then to calculate the stock price for all of these guys, it's that base price times their average ranking. So Victor Wembanyama's average ranking is 1, so his stock price is $100. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to buy him, because you can't make any money off of that. Conversely, Cam Whitmore has an average rating of 7.4, and that... sorry, computer froze.
And you should be clear. We have to be clear for new listeners. This was originally from Russillo, Ryan Russillo, correction.
correct?
Yeah, yeah.
It's our own spin on it.
Stolen from his QB stock game where I think they based it on like QB rating and some other stuff.
I don't need everyone to go crazy about that. We got some new listeners. So we very
publicly stole this idea.
Yes, and we very publicly gave credit to somebody else before stealing this idea. So
same thing with the green room.
I'm not trying to get canceled here.
Okay. And yeah, so like Cam Whitmore, for example, is his average ranking is 7.4. So his stock price is that base price of 100 divided by 7.4. So we get to 13.51. We each have a current portfolio of guys. We had a budget of $1,000. Rucker, your current portfolio contains Mike Miles, Max Lewis, Bryce Sensabaugh, Julian Strother, Jairus Walker, Keyonte George, Colby Jones, Adem Bona, Marcus Sasser, Brandon Podziemski, Imani Bates, and James Najee. And also, once one of us buys a single share of a player, that player is off the board for the other. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you're spot on. Cool. Wait, now I'm looking back at the numbers. Am I actually doing better than you, or am I behind you?
Don't worry about it for now.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I just want to win money. Me and Metcalf get a little competitive here.
Yeah.
Because, Metcalf's a finance guy. You know, we have jobs on the side, folks. So I want to beat the finance guy. You know, I know it's stock market finance, but it's not the same thing. I understand that, but you're good with numbers. I want to beat the guy that's good with numbers. And you put these together, and also I'm just competitive. You know, I'm taking this personal. Shout out MJ. But no, this has been really fun. It gets very intense. I feel like it really kicks into another gear when we get on the air to start talking about it. Because every time Metcalf puts together the sheet, I'm like, wait, I thought I was doing way better. So it's always funny.
And half the time we forget who we invested in. So
yes, 100%. I forget my roster. I'm like, why did I pick him? And then I'm just like, why didn't I make more money on him?
Okay. I know. I was looking at your James Najee for $1. Oh, and another thing, if they don't make the consensus top 50 or 60 ranking, they're considered a penny stock at $1.
Yes, I'm pretty pissed about the James Najee one.
You bought a whole share and made a, you know, you're up on him.
Oh, son of a gun. Okay.
Okay. Let's first go through kind of selling off. Looking at, we can start with yours. Do you want to liquidate any of this?
Yeah, I want, I love them. I still love them. I want my Mike Miles stock gone. I love them, but I want it all gone. So I bought 50 shares.
You originally bought 150 for $1. Then last time you sold 100 for $1.
I'm gonna sell 50 for $1. Let's get
he's Mike. Not on it's here been all,
it's,
right.
No, it's been a real fun experience, Mike. But scared money don't make money, and that money was not scared, but we did not make any money, so I need my money back.
And that's fine. No loss there. Got your $150 back.
Yeah, we're okay. We rolled the dice at the craps table, got even, walked out of there. What else do I want? Are we doing just me pick, or do you want to go one by one? I think it's fun when we go one by one.
We will for buying. If
Let's
for the selling phase, let's just liquidate everything and then we'll figure it out.
I'm gonna keep my. Oh, that's a scary one. I'm gonna keep the Max Lewis right now. No, okay. You know what?
So
I'm gonna sell it. I'm gonna sell it all. I'm going to sell all of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you originally bought it for $3.38, 60 shares of. His current price is $4.31.
I'm selling it all. Max, I love you. Love you. But we got to make some serious money here. Okay. And I feel like that might be leveling out.
That's a profit of $55.92.
Great. Let's bring it on in. Bring it on in. You know, bring the herd home so then we could push it back out. Okay. Sensabaugh, I'm keeping it.
Okay. So you currently have 20 shares of that. Just
only, I only bought 10 shares of Jairus. Gosh, you wimp, Rucker. Okay. I'll keep that.
What about Strother?
Strother. I'm keeping it. How did my only up 50 cents on that price? Come on, consensus boards. I'll keep that. Gosh. Why am I? What's the red blocks?
Those are ones that you already sold off.
Okay, good, good, good. Just checking. Really proud of my Colby Jones purchase at 299. It's at 405 now. We're good there.
Okay, good.
Bona, we're staying good. I'm gonna hopefully win the lottery with that. Sasser, how dare the consensus boards have Sasser?
that's tough.
I'm selling my Imani Bates stock. Bring it back. I had two shares. Bring that back.
Yikes! That's a tough loss. So you know, two shares bought for $2.29. Currently selling at $1. So you
really lost tough
$4.58 on that one.
Okay, so that's all my sales for now. You go ahead, Metcalf. I feel pretty good about that.
Okay, sorry, you lost $2.58 on Imani. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay. So you currently have a remaining budget of $403.92.
Okay, perfect.
While you brainstorm.
The document you sent me isn't upgrading, so I'm going to keep asking you about
it. Well, that's because it's not a shared
awesome thing. Love this. Great. Just checking with you. Thank you, sir.
I could share mine, but that would
get away with
the notes I have. Okay.
Okay. Wow. We have to talk about something real quick. There's a name on here I cannot believe you bought last time. Or actually, I can because it's been a minute since we updated it. But you're 75 shares of Baba Miller. I'm proud of you. It's Miller time, baby. That gets you a full case of Miller Lite because the company's sad.
Yeah. So I bought that the first time around at $2.02 per share. That was before he had played a game. And this is going to shock everyone. It's now a penny stock. So I just need that money back. I don't think he's going to get drafted. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. So I'm going to sell all $75 of that and eat the loss, tax write-off, glorious thing, you know.
Hope everyone understood the sarcasm Metcalf just dropped with saying he wasn't going to get drafted. Hope everyone understood that. Please don't overreact. You got a good little roster here, so go ahead. Okay, yeah, what do you got next?
I lost $76.21 on Baba. Oh, well, I got $75 back in the budget. So remaining, I have Jalen Hood-Schifino, Jet Howard, Noah Clowney, Ryan Rupair, Trace Jackson Davis, Isaiah Wong, Keontae Johnson, Nick Smith, and Kobe Bufkin. All right, I'm looking at Jalen Hood-Schifino, who I bought 150 shares of for $1. And he is now up to a consensus ranking of 17.3 for $5.78 a share. I don't think he's going higher than that. And
yeah, so what place is he currently in? Because we have him kind of ranked. Oh, no.
Yeah, so in his average ranking right now is 17.3 16.
I don't that's a tough one. I don't know if he's going higher than that.
And the final cost will be based on where they actually get drafted. So the final version will be done after the draft. I think I kind of got to sell high here, and I'm going to sell all 150 shares at $5.78 a share and turn a $774 profit on that. And I feel real good about that. Next, Jet Howard bought for $676. Current, he's dropped some to $637. I think I'm going to hold that long term, and I still think he goes lottery. Noah Clowney, I'm going to sell off my final 10 shares. It doesn't seem like things have been trending at all with him, good or bad, really. Where are you at with Clowney? We haven't talked about him in a while.
Very low.
Okay.
I'd say the late 40s off the top of my head. Don't quote me.
Okay. Yeah.
It seems like it's a while away for me.
Him or Bobby Clinton?
I feel like I'm pulling a Roy from Ted Lasso. probably lean Bobby.
Okay. Ryan Repair, I have 25 shares of. He's dropped in the consensus. Still turning a profit. I think I'm going to hold him a little longer. Trace Jackson Davis, I'm going to sell. I'm going to sell all 20 shares and take a nice little $11 profit there. Isaiah Wong, he's looked good at the combine games. I think he's going to end up getting drafted. Going to hold that.
I think he's going to get drafted earlier than people think. Not top 30, but I think he's going to get a solid second round pick. He looks great.
Yeah. Keontae Johnson, he's crept in. Here's a penny stock. He's crept into the top 60. I'm going to sell my 5 shares of him. And Nick Smith has plummeted, and that is not great. Oh boy.
Bobby Marks today saying Isaiah Wong reminds him of Gerald Green just exploded.
That was my head. That's a thing.
I was like, Bobby. Bobby, hey, buddy. Hey, easy, Bobby.
Okay, so Nick Smith's current average consensus ranking is 12.3. I don't think he's going there. I think he's only going to drop, unfortunately. I'm going to sell my 20 shares of him, and I think that means I am done. I have 83 shares of Kobe Bufkin, who is now up to consensus ranking of 25.6. I think he goes higher. I'm going to hold that. So I currently have a budget of $1,269. Rucker, you have a budget of $403.
I am having a debate with myself because I actually might sell one more person. No, I think he'll go up a little bit more. Okay. All right. You could go first, sir.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, we've just been talking about him. Shit. I'm going to purchase.
How much money do I have?
$403.
Okay. I know what I'm doing right off the bat.
Okay. I'm going to go with Bobby Clintman.
Okay.
For $1. And let's see, how many shares do I want? If I go under, I think I'm going to go 150 for now of Bobby Clintman. Sorry, just updating things. So go ahead.
I want 20 shares of Jordan Hawkins at 467. You said I had 403. Yeah, that's a good one.
Jordan Hawkins.
Or give me 30 shares. Give me 30 shares. Sorry.
30 shares. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Okay. So he's consensus ranking of 21.4. So how?
Yeah, that's absurd because I'm, you know, I'm making money there. Hit it, baby. That's money maker. I've learned how to use that soundboard, folks. These episodes are going to start getting weird moving forward.
Can't good. Because we've avoided weird for the most part.
You know? Well, I can't wait for the this or that. Me and Mick have been working on it.
Oh, actually, I'm going to bump up Bobby Clintman shares to 200.
200 shares, huh? Good for you.
$200.
Good for you. When does your Bobby Clintman jersey come in the mail?
Once he gets selected to the Miami Heat at 18.
Good. Pat Riley approves of that. You got the hair gel to prove it.
Okay. Do you have another or
yeah? To go? I want to double my shares bought of Brandon Podziemski. So I want 20 more shares.
Okay.
He's currently at 257.
Okay, so you want another 20 of him?
Yeah, is that legal or am I breaking the rules?
No, you're good. I just have to figure out how to.
Why don't you just put me down for Podziemski a new section and the current price he's at? Yeah, we'll keep it simple. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to create a headache. How great of a first game from Pods at the combine. And then I think he's looked great, Metcalf. He's been someone where we've been talking about a lot. I feel like everyone that knows Ceilings has been talking about him too. Awesome story coming from Illinois. He's looked great. Yeah. I haven't thought in the second game he didn't have the biggest numbers, but I think the first game he showed enough of like, okay, this is legit. He finished with a good box score, but I thought he made some fantastic reads, like putting teammates in position to thrive, hitting the hit aheads. Like I was really impressed with Pods.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that's risen a ton on my board. I was a little skeptical, but he's been impressive. Okay. Next up, I'm going to go 100 shares of Leonard Miller at $3.57. He's currently 28th on consensus. I think we both think he goes a little higher than that on draft night based on the buzz.
Next one. So that's a good one. That was my next one. It's weird how I was going to invest my own hard money in someone I don't like, apparently.
You're such a hater. Okay. Who else you got? You have $212 remaining.
$212 remaining. Okay. Where's my value here? Where's my value? Oh gosh. Okay. $212.
Yep.
I want a 50 shares of Bilal Coulibaly at $260 a share.
That's your next one.
Woo! My goodness. I also have to give a shout out. I usually don't care about YouTube comments, but someone gave a great comment, Metcalf, on the post lottery show. They just wrote, "So annoying."
Oh,
I was like,
"Thanks for watching."
Thank you. I love that you commented. I got you to comment. So thank you. Appreciate it. I was like, gosh, I really don't try to be annoying, but the fact that I pissed you off so much, you had to write on the comments, "So annoying."
That's fantastic. It's
like, man, you want to hang out? Like, we can go grab a beer. I wish I could please everyone, but it's just not possible in life.
Yeah. Imagine that. Okay. I'm going to alter my Leonard Miller shares to 200. because I just have so much money to work with. It's insane. you really screwed me with that Bilal. Pick.
I hope everyone listening is just terrified now of the cash register sign, and you're just like, I'm gonna crash if you keep playing it, Rucker. So sorry, I'm getting the hammers out.
Okay. I know. Shit, you have him already.
Who?
I was gonna go Colby Jones, but obviously you have him.
I like my roster right now.
That's
folks.
A no go. Sorry, brainstorming. I don't love it. No, because I think he's going to – I don't know if he's going to stay in.
It's really ugly now because we got full rosters, and I'm looking at names, and I'm like, I don't know who's climbing.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. You don't have – oh, I could go with a little bit of a blue chip stock. Do I think he goes higher? Higher than 8.1? I don't think so.
Oh gosh, that's a good one. I just was looking at that range. That was Anthony Black.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going higher, or I don't think you're making money off that.
No, neither do I, but I think I could make a few bucks off Taylor Hendricks.
Taylor Hendricks is 10.3, but he's for $9.71 a share for all those listening.
So I'm going to do that, and that will be my last. How much can I afford?
We got to start doing these live on YouTube. I think people would love if we shared the screen and kind of had everyone following along with us. Maybe that's the route we go, Metcalf. That's the route.
All right. I will go 35 shares of Taylor Hendricks at $971 a share for a total of $339.81. That leaves me with a remaining budget of $14.93, and I'm going to call it a night.
I think that's really bold. I think it's really bold, but I'm proud of you for doing it. Okay, what do I got left? Hit me with it.
You have $82.
If I keep that, that's a steak at a steakhouse, maybe even dessert. Problem is Leonard Miller was on my watch list. You've got Kobe Bufkin. Who is my sleeper? You know what? I'm going to get a guy that you sold, and I'm going to take 20 shares of Andre Jackson at 44, because I think that might be a little bit of a dark horse riser. You know what? No. Scratch. Take it. Take that back. Let's, you know, pause, rewind, delete. Switch that to Jalen Clark. 20 shares.
You.
Oh, wait. And then I got one more. Here we go. Here we go. Found another good one. Metcalf got all cocky with the, I'm calling it a night. And I'm like, well, that's why, you know.
Are you going to be super bold and buy a single share of someone again for a dollar?
Yep. No,
you have 40 remaining.
$40?
Yeah.
I want 20 shares of Amari Bailey at $196 a share.
Okay.
And that Amari's now had a,
Amari's had a really, really good combine so far.
Really good combine. Good for him. I love it. He was aggressive. He's like, I'm staying in the draft. And I was like, yes, you are. And then he's looked great.
Love
it. He's really interesting, Metcalf. I watched him in the beginning of the year. His shot looked way different in the end of the year.
Really?
Like much better. I don't know. Maybe I saw something and it was just fluky or something, but I thought beginning of the year was a little bit robotic and kind of feet going different direction or something. And then it looks smoother at the end of the year. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Maybe I saw something in the game or something, whatever.
The only other name I was thinking of were Dylan Mitchell, who now that he's away from Texas has been allowed to shoot a three pointer, which is always great to see. And then friend of the program, Dylan Jones, having himself a week.
Dylan Mitchell looked, his shot looks so much better. The confidence looks like he's just been, you know, unleashed. Dylan Jones, just awesome. Also, like, he's been taking charges at the combine. I'm like, I love that, Dylan. Like, just doing everything. So, rooting for him. We root for every prospect. You know, we'll see. We'll see. But what an episode. All-timer. I hope everyone had a good time. We'll keep tinkering. The stock game needs to stay every year, so we'll try to make it a way where everyone can play it with us. We got to get a graphic.
Yeah, we got some ideas for the off season and for next season that I think we could incorporate it into. Yeah. This was a blast, Rucker. Plug away.
I've only got one thing to plug. For everyone that was following us on the line. The 22nd, the No Ceilings 2023 NBA Draft Guide is going to be released. Double the content as last year. We've been working our asses off on it. It's going to be the exact same price as last year. I think it's an absolute steal. Graphics are unbelievable. We've really been trying to, our goal is to, you know, take it up to another level every year. So I'm really pumped for this year. We'll be having plenty of announcements on that on social media, on our website, everywhere. So that's all I got to plug. I love all of you guys. If you ever want to talk hoops, just send me a message at Tyler_Rucker on the internet. If you don't like anything I say, my username is tmetcalf11. No, but thanks, Metcalf, and have yourself a good weekend. I'm sure we'll be talking plenty about the draft.
Absolutely. If you guys have really enjoyed what we've given you in terms of written content, podcast, video all year, we try to keep it free. We don't ask for anything, but if you have the means, check out the please make sure to check out the draft guide. It looks incredible. Corey's done an awesome job with it. We've all put a ton of work in with writing, and Nick's been a fiend with the editing behind the scenes. The art looks incredible. We're really excited about it. We hope you guys enjoy it. And when that does drop, you can find it all at noceilingsnba.bigcartel.com, along with a whole bunch of merchandise. You can find all of our written work that is 100% free at noceilingsnba.com. Just click that subscribe button while you're there to make sure that you never miss anything that gets published. You can follow us across all socials at noceilingsnba and on YouTube at noceilingstv. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and 5-star rating. Till next time, see ya.